So this morning I want to talk about questions. I want to talk about learning to ask ourselves the right questions. It's kind of not going to be so much of a Q&A as kind of just a cue. because questions are really important. We've kind of got a bit of a theme going up here on the wall behind us this morning. But this is kind of essentially what I want to talk about. We're going to look at some of the questions that Jesus asked of his followers, of his disciples, and of people who were looking to come after him in Scripture, and kind of, I guess, challenge ourselves to like look at those questions and go, what kind of answers do we have? What kind of response do we have to the kind of questions that Jesus is still asking of us, asking us to wrestle with, to grapple with? And at times, particularly in our Western culture, in Australia and the Western world, we tend to want answers more than we want questions, don't we? Don't we? Answers are comfortable. Answers are like give me the information. Tell me what I'm supposed to know. Tell me what I'm supposed to believe. Questions are just kind of messy, and they kind of leave us with stress and wrestling with stuff, and that's not nearly as comfortable as going, well, this is the answer. But sometimes we get a little bit too fixated on having to have all the answers and forget that sometimes it's just as important to ask the right questions. There's not really a whole lot of point in getting the right answer if you don't ask the right question, is there? Some of you might remember Douglas Adams and his Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Anybody a fan of Hitchhiker's Guide? You know, it's this comedy science fiction kind of story, for those of you who don't know it, and they build this massive computer and it spent, you know, all this time kind of calculating and, you know, kind of sort of spit out the answer to life, the universe and everything, which was 42, and then they had to figure out what the question was. But it's a little bit like that. It's no good knowing the answers if you don't know the right questions. And sometimes we can get really fixated on wanting to know the answers to all of the big questions, like where did we come from and why am I here and why is there always an odd sock in the washing machine at the end when I folded everything else, and you know, and those kind of things. All the really important kind of questions, things that we contemplate. I've got a couple of little quotes here. This one is Thomas Berger. I don't know who he is, but it sounded good. It says, "The art and science of asking questions is the source of all knowledge." Asking questions is the source of all knowledge. We kind of have this thing. This next one says, "Asking the right questions takes as much skill as giving the right answers." And this one, this is Claude Levi Strauss, not the guy that invented the jeans, but he was an anthropologist who studied human behavior. He said, "The wise man doesn't give the right answers, he poses the right questions." Now, when we read the Gospels and we read the stories of Jesus, one of the things that we need to remember is that he was a Jewish rabbi. And one of the things that Jewish rabbis did was they asked a lot of questions. And it was kind of part of that culture and of understanding God and the teachers of the day. The better they were, the more likely they were to ask you lots of questions. For those of you who were here a few weeks ago and you saw the little video clip that we played about the chisel, who remembers God's chisel? And you remember how when at the beginning when he was like, "Are you really God?" And what was it that convinced him that he was really God that was talking to him? Do you remember? He answered a question with a question. He says, "Wow, you really are God. You answered my question with a question." Yeah. But this was the kind of thing that we kind of put into place when we kind of read the stories of the Gospels, and we see it in Jesus. And we see there was a whole bunch of different questions and things that he asked people who would come to him, and they would ask him about stuff, and often he wouldn't kind of lay it all out, you know, in terms of providing all the information, but he would challenge them with questions. And over the next few weeks, we're going to look at some of the questions that Jesus asked. But firstly, I've got kind of a little, some little things here. We have lots of great things for answering our questions these days, don't we? In our world of technology, we have access to a whole world full of a library database, an internet full of information that we can ask questions. And one of the things that my kids often like to do is to ask Siri questions. So I've got a few Ask Siri questions here this morning that we're going to look at. First, you can ask Siri all these kinds of things, and sometimes she gives you funny responses. You can ask Siri what she dreams about, and she says, electric sheep, but only sometimes. You ask Siri, why do you vibrate? Because he buzzes every time you activate. It's just me doing a little jig in here. Or, this is one of my favourites, you can ask Siri if you... Some of us are not good at maths. Who hates maths, not good at maths, not your strong point? There's a few of you. Okay, you can ask Siri what is 0 divided by 0. And Siri says, imagine that you have 0 cookies and you split them evenly among 0 friends. How many cookies does each person get? See, it doesn't make sense. And Cookie Monster is sad that there are no cookies and you are sad that you have no friends. So there are different kinds of questions that we can ask. And some of them are important questions, some of them are big questions, some of them are silly and funny questions. And what kind of question we ask depends on what kind of response that we get, doesn't it? Sometimes we have rhetorical questions that don't really require a response. Sometimes we have sort of closed questions that are like a yes or a no or a sort of a one-word answer. Or sometimes there are questions that have, like when you study, you'll learn that there are kinds of questions that have a very definite right or wrong answer. And you give the right answer and you get a big red tick, and you give the wrong answer and you get a big red cross and things like that. But there are also the kinds of questions, and sometimes these are the kinds of questions that Jesus asked where the response varies depending on who is answering. So sometimes there are the kinds of questions that is going to be different. It might be as simple as how are you today? You know, that's the kind of question that may be different for each different person that I ask. And it may not even be the same for you tomorrow as what it is today. But there are questions that kind of, in the moment, require a personal response from us in the here and now. And sometimes these are the kinds of questions that Jesus asked. Now, the message that I have today, and you might have kind of already started to clue in if you're a regular attender here at our church or you've heard me preach before, you know that my normal style is of preaching is very much kind of providing information. I love to kind of examine a text and look at background and give you lots of information and get you kind of, you know, back there and understanding and looking at what the text means. But I want to kind of, in this little series of questions, I want to kind of do it a little bit differently. And it's a little bit out of my comfort zone because it's not my natural style, and I might be a little bit out of your comfort zone, some of the things that we do, but we're going to be a little bit more reflective, a little bit more asking ourselves questions, a little bit more of listening to the Holy Spirit and kind of allowing Him maybe to challenge some things, to ask us some stuff that we have to mull over, sometimes to think about what is my response to this question here and now, because there's not necessarily a right and wrong answer. Okay, so that's kind of where we're going to go with this. And we're going to read some scriptures and we're going to look at some stuff. The first question that I want us to look at and consider this morning is one that Jesus asked his disciples on at least 3 different occasions that are recorded in Scripture. And we're going to look at these 3 passages of Scripture. And the first one is in John chapter 1 and the other 2 are in Mark chapter 10. So if you want to, we'll have them up on the screen, but if you want to follow along in your Bible, those are the 2 areas that you need to find, both in the Gospels. We're going to look at John chapter 1 first. But the question is this, the question that Jesus asked is this, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Let's look at this first passage of Scripture. This is John chapter 1, verse 35 to 39. It says, the following day, John was again standing with 2 of his disciples. So this is John the Baptist, right? As Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." When John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Now, this is not saying that John only had two disciples, but it's talking about the two that were standing with him at the time, okay? So Jesus looked around and saw them following. "What do you want?" he asked them. They replied, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come and see," he said. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying, and they remained with him the rest of the day. Now, these two disciples, John goes on, he tells us a little bit more about one of them, and one we don't know anything about. One of them was Andrew, who was the brother of Simon. And after this encounter, John tells us that Andrew went straight away, went off and found his brother Simon, who later became Peter. We know that Simon. Later became Peter, and he said, "Hey, we found the Messiah." And he came and took Simon Peter off to meet Jesus. But this is a really kind of interesting encounter. When Jesus says to these two guys, "What do you want?" it's almost like they don't know what to say, isn't it? It's almost like they don't really know what they want. They're not sure yet. They're still trying to figure it out from Jesus. And they're like, "Where are you staying?" Now, for me, like, I don't think they really cared that much about, like, his accommodation. Like, I don't think they really cared that much about, like, where he was actually staying. But it was kind of a way of saying, maybe, "Hey, can we kind of come and hang out with you for a while? We want to suss out whether you're who we think you might be. And we want to kind of have an opportunity to kind of talk. We want to kind of have an opportunity to hear the kinds of things you have to say, get a bit of a vibe about what's going on here and who you are." And so they're like, "Where are you staying?" And then they go and sort of hang out with him for a while. Okay, Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 35 says, "Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. 'Teacher,' they said, 'we want you to do for us whatever we ask.'" What a request. What a request. Jesus, it's like, sign us a blank check. I don't know if you've ever been tempted to ask that question, or if you have ever asked that question of anybody, let alone of God. But, you know, maybe there's the times when your kids have come to you and said, wanted you to agree to something before you know what you're agreeing to. Sometimes that happens. But this is basically what they're saying to Jesus. They're saying, "Agree to do whatever we want, and then we'll tell you what it is. Sign us a blank check." So Jesus says, in response to this, he says, "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. And they replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." "You don't know what you are asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Now, I have to wonder how much they really understood about what Jesus was saying. Did they really know what they were getting themselves in for? But Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." Again, we see people coming to Jesus, and Jesus says to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" Now, in this instance, it's a really bold, brazen kind of request that James and John have. And Jesus doesn't make any promises to them, does he? But I find it really interesting that Jesus doesn't particularly rebuke them for making such a request, does he? Jesus doesn't rebuke them for coming, even coming with a request like this. Let's just file that away for just a moment. And just a few verses later is a third story. And this is about a man named Bartimaeus. You might know this story. It says, then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, so they're outside the town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, which basically just means son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," some of the people yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he's calling you." And Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has healed you." Instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. Now this is a really interesting story, and I want us to just kind of dwell here on this and just considering this for just a moment. I'm going to read through that story again in just a minute as we just kind of really wait on the Lord to hear what he wants to say. But just kind of imagine the scene if you can. I want you to try and picture what it would have been like to have been there on that day. If it helps you to close your eyes, to visualize it and imagine, feel free to do that. But imagine it's hot and it's dry and it's dusty and there's people everywhere. There's people clamoring for Jesus' attention. And there's bustling and there's jostling and everyone's kind of talking and trying to get close to Jesus. He's this reputation of the healer and maybe he's the Messiah and people are following him around. What do you see? What do you hear? What do you smell, maybe? And suddenly this beggar, and he's dirty and he's smelly and he's blind, and he starts calling out and he starts shouting and he starts interrupting. And he just won't be quiet. He just on and on and on, he's just shouting and he's yelling out and he's trying to get Jesus' attention and he's trying to shout above the crowd. He has no idea where Jesus is. He's just trying to, yelling out in desperation and in hope. And people are telling him to be quiet. People are saying, "Be quiet." But he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, hey, over here, Jesus, son of David, please have mercy." And Jesus heard him. He stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he's calling you." Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus said. "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, for your faith has healed you." And instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. Just as you're there, as you're picturing that scenario, as you're thinking through what that must have been like to have been there that day, I want to ask you some questions. What do you notice in the story? Who do you relate with in that story? There are a lot of kind of different different people and different roles and different characters kind of going on in that story, isn't there? Who do you relate with? Who do you connect with? Who do you feel a sort of kinship or connection with in that story? Maybe it's the disciples. Maybe it's the crowds sort of clamoring, pressing in, trying to get near to Jesus. Maybe it's the ones who are telling Bartimaeus to be quiet. Maybe it's, you know, maybe you're kind of there and there's this... You're someone who has compassion on Bartimaeus, and that you're hoping that maybe Jesus might notice this man and help him. Maybe you relate today with Bartimaeus himself, this desperation, this desperate need to have something from Jesus, that Jesus might reach out and connect with you. Who do you relate most with in that story? Another interesting question that I want to ask you to think about. Why did Jesus ask Bartimaeus the question that he asked him? When Jesus calls Bartimaeus and he comes up there and he says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Why did Jesus ask that question? In so many ways, it kind of seems really obvious, doesn't it? It's like, well, you know, he's a blind guy who has to beg on the side of the road because he's obviously got no family to support him. This is his only way of survival is to beg and, you know, and rely on the mercy of people that might be walking past. Struggling through life. Isn't it obvious? Now, obviously, we know that everybody knew that he was blind. Jesus wasn't, you know, it was not a surprise. What is it that prompted Jesus to ask this question? Maybe what are the things that Bartimaeus might have been tempted to ask for, or might have, you know, what are the thoughts that might have gone through his head? Or if it was somebody else, if it was us maybe in that position, what are the things that we could have asked for instead of his sight? You put yourself in the shoes of Bartimaeus and you're standing there face to face with Jesus. And Jesus says to you this morning, "What do you want me to do for you?" How do you feel about the idea of Jesus asking you that question? You just imagine for a moment in your mind, picture Jesus in your mind, and Jesus is asking you that question and saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" How comfortable do you feel with Jesus saying that to you? Imagine, probably for some of us, like that's, we think, "Woohoo! All our Christmases have come at once." And for others, we're probably, there's a degree to which we're a little uncomfortable because we feel that pressure to ask for the right stuff. We feel that pressure to ask for the right things, don't we? We go, I'm know I'm not supposed to ask for something selfish, and I know I'm not supposed to ask for something, you know, materialistic, or you know, I'm supposed to be what, and we kind of wrestle with, you know, what's the spiritual answer to this question? Because we don't want to be like those disciples who wanted glory and wanted the positions at Jesus' right and left, and we kind of look at that story and we go, "Well, that was the wrong question." How do you feel about Jesus asking you that question? Because we remember that Jesus didn't rebuke his disciples for asking that question. Jesus didn't say, "What a selfish question, how dare you even ask that?" did he? And sometimes I think we get too caught up in that sense of, if I get it wrong, God is going to be angry with me. If I ask for the wrong thing, God is going to be upset. God is going to yell at me, and he's going to turn his back on me, and then, you know, well, I've done my dash, so I've got to make sure I ask for the thing that, you know, he really wants. And, you know, sometimes, you know, God wants to just shake that mindset. He wants to get that out of our head. And stories like this are incredibly helpful for us when Jesus says, "What do you want?" Because I think that there's a point where we need to understand that Jesus wants the kind of relationship with us where we feel like we can ask anything. Now, we understand that Jesus might not give us everything that we ask for. I think most of us are fairly clear on that. But Jesus wants that kind of relationship with us. But here's the last question that I want us to ask ourselves is, what is your response to that question? As Jesus is standing there and he's saying, "What do you want me to do for you right here and right now, today, in this moment, in this place? What is it that you want Jesus to do for you? What is it that you want Jesus to do for you?" Maybe you know exactly what you want Jesus to do for you this morning. Maybe the cry of your heart is so desperate this morning for what you need from Jesus that it kind of just, like, it's the dominant thing in your mind. It's the one thing. If you could ask for anything, you know exactly what it would be right now. Now, whether or not you feel like you're allowed to ask for that, doesn't matter. Jesus says, "I want to have that kind of relationship with you. I want you to talk to me about that. I want you to bring that to me." And Jesus is standing here with each one of us this morning and saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he's saying, you know, don't hold back. Don't try to give the spiritual answer. Just pour out your heart and trust him with it. When we read the book of Psalms, we read some of the things, some of the ways that David poured out his heart to God, some of the things that David asked, the questions, the things that he asked God to do for him. We know that David wasn't overly hung up on what was the most kind of spiritual answer to this question. There are some of the things that David says to God that seem irreverent or disrespectful, but God says, "This is a man that is after my heart, and he's pouring it out, and he's expressing it to me, and he's laying it down." And he says, and I love that. Because there's this sense in which we understand that it doesn't matter what we ask for, because we know that whatever God actually gives us is going to be something good. If we ask for something foolish or, you know, that will be harmful to us, then God's not going to give us that. And so we can just pour out our heart. We can pour out our desires. We can pour out our requests and hear God's Spirit kind of speaking to us and touching our hearts in that process of asking and requesting. Matthew chapter 7 says, "Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened." It goes on. It says, "You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? If they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? Now, we often read those two bits of scripture and we read them separately, don't we? We often read the first bit, we read, you know, ask and you'll receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. But sometimes we don't kind of read on, because the next bit gives us the confidence to be able to ask, to be able to seek. It says we can ask for whatever is on our heart. We can come and we can answer this question honestly, and we don't have to give the right answer, because we can just pour out our heart to God and know that he is a good, good Father who knows how to give good gifts to his children. Does that make sense? So Jesus wants us to have that kind of relationship where we can ask anything, where we can be honest, where we can be open, where we can, you know, ask for whatever selfish thing pops into our head. You know, we might have to repent of that request later, but, you know, but we can have that kind of relationship with him. But secondly, I think there's something in the story of Bartimaeus that also says if there's something specific that we want or that we need, like, it's good to actually be specific in our request to God. To actually know what it is that we're seeking from God. I think this is at least a little part of why Jesus asked that question of Bartimaeus. And I wonder what would have happened if Bartimaeus had said something different. I wonder what would have happened if Bartimaeus had said, "Would you give me some money so I can buy some food?" I wonder what would have happened if Bartimaeus had said, "Hey, I really need a new cloak." I wonder what would have happened if Bartimaeus had said, "Hey, I really need someone to look after me and watch over me and help me get around to places." I wonder if that story would have had a different ending. But there are things sometimes that we know that we need, and sometimes we're afraid to ask for it. Sometimes it seems too bold. Sometimes it seems too irreverent. Sometimes we're just afraid of voicing something that, you know, maybe God will not answer it and then there'll be disappointment. But if we never really voice it, then maybe somehow we can avoid that disappointment of not getting the thing that we asked for. I think probably a few of us have been there. But this is one of the things that increases our faith when we speak out what it is that we're asking God for. When we get specific. I grow more and more convinced as the years pass that there are times when God just chooses to show us how much he loves us. And there are times when God just says, "Hey, I'm just going to give you that. Not because you really need it all that much, but just because you asked for it, and just because I love you, and just because I want to just, you know, I just want to give you a good gift." Sometimes I think we have this austere, sort of frugal image of God who, you know, just kind of gives out very sparingly just the bare minimum that we need to get by. But I don't think that's God. I don't think that's God at all. And a lot of my personal experience as growing up in a family that wasn't particularly well off, a pastoral family and that sort of thing, I kind of had a bit of that image of God, and God's been having to teach me and change that kind of mindset in my head. God is not a reluctant giver. I don't have to try to, like, you know, drag stuff out of him that I need. You know, he's lavish and he's extravagant and he's generous. But he's good and he's kind and he's gracious sometimes to me too. Sometimes he protects me from myself and the things that would cause me harm or come between me and him. I want us to reflect on this. Like I said before, maybe when you think about that question, maybe when you hear Jesus asking you that question, what do you want me to do for you? Maybe you know the answer. Maybe this morning you don't know the answer. What does that mean? Maybe there aren't specific things. Maybe there's not like one specific thing that kind of jumps into your mind. Maybe you go, well, I'm not really sure what I want. That's okay. But what I want to challenge you to do and ask you to do is to reflect on it this week. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you and help you to see what it is that you want Jesus to do for you. To start to discern that, to work out what it is that in this season of your life, in this point in time, in whatever it is that you're facing in your life right now, what is it that you want? Listen to his voice and ask him to guide you as you reflect on it. Encourage you to reread through these scriptures, meditate on the scriptures, think about them and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you as you challenge yourself with this question. What do you want me to do for you? Can we pray? Father, we thank you that you are a loving Father. You're a good God. And Lord, as we contemplate, as we think over this question, as we chew on it, as we mull over, Lord, this question that you are asking us, this question of what do we want you to do? What do I want you to do for me? Lord, we pray for that leading of your Spirit. Lord, help us to bring those things to you, to speak with you, to share those things with you. Lord, for those here this morning who are wrestling with difficult situations, for things when they know exactly what they need from you. Lord, I just pray that you would minister into those situations, that you would speak, that your peace would be there. God, that you would be the provider, that you would be that generous and loving Father, that you would meet those needs. Lord, as we reach out to you, as we seek you, as we get desperate like Bartimaeus and we cry out and we call out with persistence and with desperation, God, we thank you that you are a God who doesn't just walk past and ignore us in our time of need. That you're a God who sees and notices and calls us to come to you and to receive the things that we need. God, I pray for us as we walk this week, as this goes through our minds, this goes through our thoughts, Lord, we pray that you would guide it, that you would lead it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.